A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, Anna.
Hello, everybody. It's Auntie Jean here. I am calling you from the Festival of Ideas in Bristol, where we have just had a lovely chat with, among other people, Jill herself, Paddy Green, who was lovely, and also Kerry Davis and Mary Cutler and Angela Burns, our favourite comic.
Oh, you. She's only saying that because I'm stood next to her.
Yes, and who has, well, by the way, Rolf, had to come on the podcast again very soon. Okay? We're going to do a dumpty-dum, so here we go. Three ladies. One, two, three.
Dumpty-dum.
Right, there we are. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
This is Dumpty Dum, the shit. I'll start again, shall I?
The what?
The shit. This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the GCSE Maths A star, that is Robert Wilson. With me, I have the failed foundation level home economics, that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Freddie's exam fiasco is you. This week's Dumpty Dum comes from Auntie Jean, Louise Lombard and Angela Barnes, amongst others, at the Festival of Ideas. Lucy, if someone wants to send in a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, or check that the nosiest person in the village is not hiding in your utility room while you discuss life-changing financial affairs, then call us on 0203 031 3105, or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shed Code for sponsoring us, and to Derek there in the back bedroom. Derek was leafleting for the Naturism for the Older Gentleman party last week, and he found letterboxes trickier than he thought. Apparently the older ones could do with extra lubrication, and if it's not stiff enough, it won't go in easily. Now, you should laugh at that because you actually gave me that joke, didn't you?
Oh, you're too kind.
I did. Dear listeners, he said... Because he was leafleting, weren't you, for the Older Gentleman Naturist Party, along with Derek.
Yes.
And he said this on WhatsApp, and I said, I am nicking that for Derek Fletcher. I said, you are Derek Fletcher, and I claim my £5. So.
Well, I gave it to you with pleasure.
As always.
And, you know, after I'd done, and it's true that everyone's slot is slightly different. And we're talking about letterboxes here. And... I felt like I'd lost quite a lot of skin from my fingers. And
some of them snap back.
Oh, they do. And some
and
don't.
And people have those weird brushes inside them as well.
Yes, lots of brushes. And I was sticking a bit of A4 through. It was the Labour Party. And I thought I'd mention that because we're all a bunch of lefties here at Dumpty Dum. Well, most of us are anyway. And the Labour Party's so cheap here in Oxford that... it's just a piece of A4 done in Comic Sans, and it looked like it was...
No.
Remember at school, and you'd get those that banded handout that was in sort of purple. It was a bit like that. And it was about halfway through that I realised that I had to fold it in half again to make the edge stiff enough to go through the brushes. Yeah. And anyway, I came across two dogs, and that was it. Because my biggest fear was having a great big Alsatian nipping at my fingers, but that didn't happen. And of course,
that's
if you're leafleting for the Naturist Party, you might be worried about something else being nipped.
Yes, being slipping into the letterbox. But I did various bits of leafleting, and I listened. There was one where I had to climb a massive flight of stairs, got up there, shoved the thing through, and then heard it being ripped to bits on the other side by some ferocious little yappy shite. And I thought, for God's sake, I could have just not bothered. That was a total... And it was like, you could hear it going like this. And you could hear the noise of it shredding this bit of paper. I thought, oh, well, can we count on your vote? Probably not, eh? Anyway.
Probably not. Probably not. And I did encounter some real live people as well. And the people, not waving, but looking at me strangely through the window. And also one man who was putting boxes into the back of his organic vegetable delivery van. And I thought, well, we might be guaranteed of his vote unless he goes green. And he seemed quite friendly, because they do ask you, who are you delivering for?
Yeah.
And you say, the Labour Party. And if they don't spit on you, that's it's a bonus. And then we have a local troubled family a couple of streets away. And they hang outside next to lots of rusty bikes and bedsteads. And they said, as I delivered to the door, the next door neighbour of these people, they said, oh, I wonder if he's going to deliver to us. And I said, well, of course I am. And I came, because the last bloke wouldn't come round. I said, well, maybe they were just shy or whatever. And I did think about asking if we could count on their vote, but I'm not sure if you have a criminal record, you can vote, can you?
I hope
they don't listen to Dumpy.
You wouldn't have wanted to
get my window egged.
Now, I'm not sure if you're allowed to vote because of your massive criminal record. It might put them off, you know.
Terrible. And then I did go to vote. I voted on Thursday. And as I was leaving, I live in a development. It makes me sound like it's a lunatic asylum, doesn't it? I live in a fairly modern development, and in one of the car park cubbyholes.
Is it warden controlled? Does a lady come round and check you haven't fallen?
Yes, it's my housemate, and she also makes sure I haven't peed in my laundry hamper. again. But as I came back, I saw there was a brand new convertible Rolls Royce in one of the car parking bays.
Ooh.
And I got so excited, because I'm a bit of a Rolls Royce fan, and I just laughed to myself and thought, typical bloody champagne socialist. But there's nothing wrong with being a champagne socialist. I want champagne for all my friends.
Yes. I want no one to have to drink nasty Riesling.
All right. It's probably about time we got on with the show, isn't it?
Yes. Why not?
Okay, well, in this week's episode, we have calls from Scarlet Sparrow, who's hit the gin, Sussex Shepherd, who's had his heart broken, Witherspoon, who thinks Freddie needs a daddy, Sarah Brown, who stands up for the youth, Jenna, who loved not hearing about the election, Dusty Substances, who thinks Lizzie is a failed parent or is failing her parenting exams, and Andrew Horn, who sees a leg up for Neil. But first, it's Lucy Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
Apparently, haymaking at Brookfield was so relaxed they could all stop and eat Scotch eggs and point at birds. Hootie couldn't join them as her bees had swarmed. I think that might be a euphemism for gone a bit potty. They said, her bees have swarmed, in the same way that people say, she's a bit of a character, which means she wears her pants on her head and eats Tippex. Lillian has started referring to Helen as a mole. Really? I think of her more as a gerbil, personally. Mind you, as Lillian is currently washing in the horse trough and peeing in a bucket, she sounds remarkably sanguine. This is probably because she has managed to inveigle the horrifying Anthea into the role of Justin's secretary. Yay! Give it 5 months and she'll be boosting the router under Justin's desk, just the way Lillian did. We had a little mother-son chatette with Freddie and Elizabeth. Between them, they have a whole half a brain.
I do not like exams because my brain hurts, said Freddie.
I do not like them, but also, luckily, it did not matter for me, said Elizabeth. To be honest, it probably won't matter for you either, Freddie Pargeter. Someone will probably push you off the roof with or without your GCSEs, just on personality alone. If you're tired and hungry, I'll find you something to eat, said Elizabeth vaguely. I'm sure someone can tell me where the kitchen is if I ask nicely, and I'll use that hot cupboardy thing that the staff use. Justin and Matt, who are together shadier than a sun hat factory, got together to talk about Latif, who also sounds like someone I wouldn't invest in a bingo card with, let alone a Costa Rican racecourse. Latif is part of a company called Smelling Industries, run by Hugo Smelling. Matt described him as a head honcho. He must have very powerful back legs. The fact he's called Hugo and went to public school means he's entirely, in Justin's mind, legit, and entirely, in the rest of our minds, a git. Linda couldn't keep away from the Uffizi when she was in Italy. Probably all those sun-dried tomatoes. Do I see a book group looming? I thought we had one before. Scriptwriters, I do not believe for a second that Linda has not read Middlemarch. Of course she has. But it comes as no surprise that Neil is reading The Girl on the Train and has only got as far as Crew. Krusty and Jill have made up. They went down to the orchard to have a potter around. I don't know what they were doing, but Jill said to Krusty that she wanted a bit more smoke, and then they both sounded much more relaxed and happy. No wonder Jill makes so much cake. Sausage Boy is back. He shouldn't be called that now. Compost bin? He's in a near constant state of ferment and brought back a load of bubbly mush from wherever the hell he's been. But he turned into bubbly mush himself when he discovered that Justin is going to give them $1 million for a field. He'd already ordered himself a 24-carat gold bucket before Tony got a word in, and the word was, with characteristic Toniness, no. Rex and Anisha are playing silly bugger games, which you should stop doing as soon as you reach puberty. If you're not in fifth year, then pack it in. Anyway, Pip decided to troll up in her quad bike with the squeaky brakes and said, "Hi, Rex. You know Toby. Well, I should have gone for you, actually, Rexy. I do hope I haven't made you late for a date with someone else. Oh, I am a silly girl." The exciting news is that Freddie has gone to the Isle of Wight. Hurrah! Elizabeth was worried sick as she couldn't get hold of Freddie on his mobile. "He's saving his battery," said Lily. "That's what you do at a festival." "I didn't need to save my battery," said Elizabeth crossly. "I had Roy." Amber was due to share Freddie's tent, but her grandmother had a stroke, which is more than Johnny's going to get. Freddie seemed to get as excited about sleeping under canvas as his mother gets, although his total inability to get the tent pole into the hole makes me think Johnny will probably be safe, although I hope Johnny zips himself into his sleeping bag right up to the neck, or it could be Freddie throwing stones at his window in a few months' time. "And stones! Brilliant!" The end.
Oh dear, I quite enjoyed that this week, is what I should be saying.
That's very good. That's a little impersonation.
Well, you know, I've been practicing.
Very good. Should we do the caller rollers now?
I think we should. Let's see what the caller inner is of caller inner out.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Sussex Shepherd first.
Good evening, Royfield, Lucy and fellow Dumpty Dummers. It's the Sussex Shepherd here. I just wanted to say that I thought that this week had some of the best writing for the Archers I've heard in a long time. In particular, two things stuck out for me. The scene between Rex and Pip, I think, just was heartbreaking. When Pip said that she had chosen the wrong brother, and we realised that Rex realises that she had known all along, perhaps the way he felt, and yet was saying that she thinks she'd made the wrong decision. I just thought that, again, it just broke my heart a little bit. I thought it was beautiful, understated and beautiful. And then on the start of Friday's episode, a wonderful bit of misdirection about the election. I just thought that was lovely. A nice little touch. It was very, very nicely done. Anyway, so yeah, I thought a good week for the Archers, all told. That's it, really. So keep up the good work, and I'll speak to you again next week. Bye.
Rex realised that Pip realised that he'd liked her all along, which makes her a cow, because we were all thinking for a while, weren't we? Oh, maybe she's just really naive and hasn't realised. And actually, she's kind of said, "Yep, I knew you were interested and I still threw you over for your idiotic brother."
Yeah, and the thing I only just realised now that's popped into my my head is that she did say, she said, I don't like being single. So is she one of these monkeys, you know, that they only let go of one branch? Mm-hmm. When they see another one dangling in front of them, so to speak.
Yeah.
And as someone who's been more or less single for 20 years, probably. You know, I dabbled, but you know. Although I do have a hot date later tonight, but the less said about that, the better. On live radio,
the more said about that, the better. I think. But anyway, never mind.
No. Might be listening. Yeah, she is a bit of a cow, isn't she? And you know, Rex is a plonker. I mean, I have to admit, I am carrying a bit of a torch for Anisha.
Really? But she was at it as well. All that nonsense about, oh, I don't know whether, oh, did I say I'd be there? I might be there, I might not. And you think, oh, just stop it. What is wrong with, it's all these bloody books, isn't it? Women that love too much and women.
Oh, the rules.
Women, oh, God, the bitch rules. Women who love men who think too much and blah, 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 blah. And you think, just if you want equality, treat men like equals rather than, you know, cats that you have to tease or something, and just say, would you like to come to the pub? Good, that would be great. I will be there at 8. I will hopefully see you then. If they don't turn up, you don't see them again. The end.
Exactly.
Not all this.
That's exactly
nonsense.
How I want to be treated. Game playing, it's a pain in the arse. I don't know.
Oh, you mustn't text back within 3 days or something. By which time I'd have just thought, oh dear, their phone must be broken. I'd probably deleted them.
Yeah. I mean, there is that kind of thing where you don't want to appear too desperate and, you know, before the end of the alert has sounded, you're already typing in. I mean, there's some kind of decorum that has to be brought into the proceedings, but I think Rex and Anisha need to, I don't know, go for a romp in the hay, definitely.
Well, I would. I'm sure you would. 20 years, I bet you would. I think
No, I don't mean I haven't done anything in 20 years. I mean, I haven't lived with anyone for 20 years.
Yes, I know. But I think they kind of... It's going to be boiling over. My God, I'm surprised you can sit down.
I'm staying silent on that. Okay, it's a good job we're putting the E on this, isn't it?
I think that... They need Anisha and Rex just need to sort of get it out of their system. But Rex does need to sort of either go for Pip and ask her again.
Okay, I think the phrase is man the fuck up.
Yes, there is that. Yes,
either that or Anisha needs to get the ketamine out, the horse tranquilizers, and do him that way. Do you think you can get horse Viagra?
My Lord, could you imagine? It'd be like a clothes prop flinging Nora.
Oh, yes. Well, there we are.
That horse got
two
five
eats.
Legs.
Two
I know.
Eats.
Yes, Witherspoon now. You were very touched, weren't you, by what Witherspoon said?
I was, yes. I've been a distant fan of Witherspoon. Was the first caller in her I remembered. So he's been a regular ever since I listened. I can't remember how long I've been listening. But yeah, so he's almost a celebrity to me. So when someone says hello to me, it's like, I'm made up. It was almost like the time when Sandy Toksvig bought me a gin and tonic.
No.
Yes.
With Sandy
More of that later.
She your hot date? I think you're on to a losing wicket there, Robert, I have to say. Yes.
Barking up the wrong tree.
Barking up the wrong small Danish woman. Yes, we're going to play the call now, as we've talked about it.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Lucy, Robert, Millie Bell, and all Dumpty Dimmers around the world. Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. Lifting a glass of Prosecco, not on Lakey Hill, but on a hill overlooking the Hudson River on a fine summer's day. Speaking of special days, let's talk about Thursday. Comey Day here, Election Day there, and Freddie doing a runner from his exam and lying up the wazoo about it. At first I thought, what a wanker Freddie is, acting like either an 8-year-old as I tweeted or a 10-year-old as Lily remarked. But then I thought, wait. Put your empathic psychiatrist hat on and have a think about Freddie. First, note that Freddie and Johnny are good friends, an odd couple to say the least, but what do they have in common? They both lost their fathers in tragic accidents. Now, Johnny was unaware of his biological father, but does have a strong attachment to him. However, he was raised by a stepfather through mid-adolescence and has had a strong grandfather and, yes, even uncle in the last couple of years. Now, Freddie lost his father at a key point in his life when he was at the threshold of adolescence. No strong male figure took over. Where were you, David and Kenton, I ask? Freddie is now feeling that loss acutely, is floundering, and is acting out all over the place, especially his rage against his single-parent mom. Elizabeth has had a tough time raising him. Again, I point the finger at David and Kenton. Now, I do remember that period when Elizabeth stopped talking to David because she thought David caused Nigel's fall, but that conflict was resolved, so David should have stepped back in. Well, Kenton as a father figure, that's another case. We know how all that went recently. So I'm worried about Freddie. I fear he's headed for a major crash, maybe by the end of this weekend. We shall see, and I will talk to you all soon. Let's have another Prosecco. Cheers.
Well, yes, but I think that Freddie has been completely abandoned. And
yeah.
Elizabeth kind of, as she, whether it's because she was not terribly academic herself and got booted out of various schools for misbehavior and things like that, whether or not she's trying to, she's consciously trying to overcompensate by steering Freddie away from all that, I don't know. But she is enough pushing him to get these bloody GCSEs when the kid has clearly, I mean, it's amazing he gets himself dressed in the morning. You know, he's clearly not gifted by any means. So no, why is this kind of, you know...
He doesn't need to be, though, does he? Well, no. In his position, as you said, you know, you don't need to be gifted to fall off a roof. No. And Nigel proved that. But, yeah, I mean, who gives a flying sausage, quite frankly, whether he does well at his exam?
You need a maths GCSE to go to university. And I can imagine Freddie thinking university's a right laugh. But he'd never actually do any work when he was there.
No. And
so what's the point?
She can send him off to Felpish and Polly, surely.
But then I can't. She has done.
He's all right. Oh, that's
Felpish
true. Yeah.
And Borstal, isn't he? But I can't. Sixth form Borstal. I can't really imagine him taking over Lower Loxley.
No.
I can imagine Lily. I can imagine Lily being succeeding Theresa May the way she's going, but not him.
So well, I don't anyone quite could do a better job than Theresa May at the moment. But anyway, there we are.
I don't really know what his. You know, what he's going to do. Because he doesn't seem to have any substance to him apart from not wanting to do any work. That seems to be his sole defining characteristic, is work dodging.
Well, I have a great deal of sympathy and empathy for him.
He can do your job. Succession management. Who have you got lined up under you? Freddie Pargeter, I thought, a fictional character from a radio soap opera. Who is who I'm training up?
But where is this going? Where is Freddie heading? I mean, apart from plummeting to Earth.
Well, I really don't know, because I genuinely can't. He did mention, my God, this is a real reach, but he did mention ages ago something about being really interested in town planning.
Oh, yeah. Well, you need maths for that.
But of all the unlikely things for Freddie to be remotely interested in.
Do you think that was just a joke? A scriptwriter's joke chucked in there.
But they don't often...
Do jokes on the Archers. Yeah, I know.
if it's that odd, if it's such a non sequitur, normally it's because we're about to embark upon some peculiar plot twist. Yeah. So then when we all go, hey, they can say, well, it was mentioned in an earlier episode, you know, and we'll go, oh, for God's sake, oh, all right.
I know a lot of planners. Coincidentally, I do. And you have to be reasonably clever.
Yes.
Imagine. If any of my town planning and transport planning and just generally planning friends are listening, you have to be exceptionally talented to be a planner.
Not just being able to spell your own surname, which is kind of Freddie's goal, isn't it, really?
Pargeter is quite tricky. Two T's? Well, who knows?
No, it's Freddie. That's the bit you can't spell. I don't know where we're going with Freddie. And I don't like this kind of... this sort of very, very clear demarcation of, you know, high achieving sister, low achieving brother. It's just too kind of black and white.
Yeah. Yeah, but Witherspoon has a point, and well, it's not just losing a dad. Losing a parent is tough at any age. And you know, I'll tell you a little story here. Is that you know, my mum died 12 years ago, and the anniversary came up a couple of weeks ago on the 18th of May, and I'd been thinking about it for. In a week or so before, and I was talking to my dad about this the other day, and I'm thinking about it, and oh yeah, it's going to be Mum's anniversary. And, you know, not in a morbid way, but you know, you'd like to mark the occasion. And then on the day, I completely forgot about it until about 3:30 in the afternoon, and thought it was the 18th of May, and it hit me like a punch in the guts. Mm. Not in that I was really upset, but I thought I'd almost forgotten about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it matters. It matters.
Mm.
And, you know, I think about her every day. So what Freddie is, you know.
Yeah.
The gorilla suit is barely cold. And he must be. So he's not such a tearaway, is he? I mean, good God, not like the people two streets away from me.
Well, no. I mean, people would happily give him a Labour Party leaflet, wouldn't they? But I do. There wouldn't be any point, but they would.
No, he'd roll it up and. Yeah. Make a joint out of it, I imagine.
And I do think there has been a massive, as Witherspoon says, a sort of a dearth of positive male characters around him. Titcomb, that's it. Titcomb and that strange man that used to go around with Julia Pargeter and I believe still lives somewhere on the estate.
I'm pouring another glass of wine here.
Good. The one who, I've run out of champagne, this is very depressing. The one who, what's his name? I've got Plank. Do you know Julia?
No, I
think, yes, you do. He sells art. He knew about art and he moved into Lower Loxley and.
I'm a Vicky, I know you said Vicky Pollard. I'm a Thicky Vicky person. I don't remember. I may be nearly 47, but I haven't been listening that long.
Right, I'm going to look it up now because this is just going to... Julia Pargeter and... Oh, what's his name? Oh, God. No, I can't find it now.
So never he was mind. Some kind of dodgy art salesman.
Not dodgy. He was terribly nice and he was the only person that could deal with Julia. And he's like sort of like the wife in Jane Eyre. He's in one of the attics or something at Lower Loxley, banging to get out, I would imagine.
Like Lewis.
Lewis, that's it. That's him.
Oh, that's him. That's him. God.
Yes.
Right, my work here is done,
you
folks.
You see, that last glass of Riesling just pushed the old brain cells to a bit of...
I'm cooking with gas now. I'm. It's like, you know, with diesel cars, some of them you have to add a little extra to it to make the cylinders
fire.
Thrust
yes.
properly. Yes.
I anyway, think about you thrusting. Thank you very much, Auntie Jean. Let us raise the tone with a bit of Auntie Jean.
Great.
Hello, everybody. It's Auntie Jean here. A couple of things about last week's podcast. Juicy Lucy thing seems to think that Chris won the single wicket, but I thought it was Rory. Or did I just not listen properly? Anyway, I think we need a recount because that seems to be the theme of the week. Also. You mentioned, Luce, I think, that it might be the start of a dementia storyline for Jill. Well, while we were at the Festival of Ideas in Bristol with the talk with Kerry and Paddy and others, somebody in the audience mentioned that, and they very categorically denied it, that Jill will not be having a dementia storyline. So whatever is going on, it's going on presumably just because of old age. Who knows? Mary Cutler said at the Festival of Ideas that there is going to be a big party because she's just written it for Chris and Alice in the next few months, but she wouldn't say why, so make of that what you will. Is Alice pregnant, perchance? Anyway, we'll wait and see. Bye!
Auntie Jean, yes, probably it was blimmin' Rory, who won the Winkle Sicket. I wasn't listening because I do not care about cricket and I don't understand it and it's very boring.
Now, I have issue with you there. It is not boring. It is the most splendid... creation on God's earth, cricket. Oh, next to Riesling, obviously.
You just don't
understand it. That's like you saying, oh, I don't like poetry, but I don't like French poetry. If you don't speak the language, you can't understand it. Oh, it sounds so bloody patronising there, don't I? I can only apologise.
Dear. Yes, but I think if thank you for mansplaining, Cricket. I think...
I'm spreading as well.
Stop it! You were thrusting before and now you're spreading! Don't control yourself, man. I think... I'd listened to Test Match Special because...
You nearly said something else.
I did. Because it is very easy to listen to while you're doing other things and it's very restful.
Yes,
and it's like
it's
somebody
not
playing
about
whale
cricket,
music
it?
Or something. And they just talk about pigeons flapping down the edge of the road, which is lovely. So, yes, I was not listening properly. And I can't remember what else Auntie Jean said. What did she say?
Oh, gosh. And I can't remember. I was just so inflamed by your disparaging comments about cricket.
Oh, Auntie Jean, we can't remember, but we're sure it was great. Well done, Auntie Jean. God.
Well, maybe we should listen again.
Yes. Auntie Jean, I think that... I'm surprised they gave away so much information, actually. That's quite interesting. You said about the big party for Chris and Alice... And then Andrew Horn, in his call, mentioned, which we'll play later, mentioned that he thinks Neil will be offered the job of the manager of the new pig unit. Now, I think Alice might. And I think that's what the big party's about.
Alice might become a pig unit manager.
Yes, as like the director of the whole thing. She'll go and work for Justin.
And that's why Alice has become more interested in
yes.
the farm.
Yes. And I can't. That's... You don't have a party when you're pregnant because you can't drink, so you hate everybody.
Hmm.
So okay. She wouldn't be having a party because she's pregnant. They're already married.
Yeah. Chris... Anniversary. Because they ran off to Vegas. How long have they been married?
Oh God knows.
At least 5 years.
Mary Cutler said, she said, "Oh, there's a big party coming up for Chris and Alice, but I'm not going to tell you what it's about." And if it was an anniversary, she'd have said it's an anniversary party because we could all predict that because of when they got married.
Mm.
So I think it might be that.
Okay. Mm. I really, it's rather contrived, though, isn't it? That she doesn't
contrived.
Know one end of a sow from the
She's
other.
She's a nuclear physicist wedding planner. Well, you know, I've got, why not just throw pigs into the mix?
I think we need to get this straight. I thought she was, didn't she do aeronautics or something like
she
that?
She did aeronautics.
Avionics.
Yeah, aeronautics, and then she did, and then she planned Kirsty's wedding. That went well. Then she did a bit of something else as well. I've forgotten what that was. A little incidental job, and now she's a sales rep for that tech company, isn't she?
Yeah. But yeah. She's got an engineering background, so...
Yes, it's just what you need for a pig unit, surely.
And it's very forward-thinking of the Archers to have their only female engineer. And on the side, what she really wants to do is plan bloody weddings.
Yeah, I know. And instead she's going to be shovelling pig shit. Hurrah!
It's much the same. If you've ever worked at a wedding, which I've done quite a few, I'd rather be shovelling pig shit than working on a wedding. Quite frankly.
Should we have Sarah Brown now?
Go on then.
Brown girl in the ring. Tra la 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 la. Hello, lovely dum de dum. I haven't spoken to you for ages. It's Sarah Brown here. I am just ringing to leave a quick message about all the horrid reactions I keep coming across on the social media type sets about the youth of Ambridge. Yes, they are really bloody irritating some of the time, but frankly, let's just think back to how the parents used to behave. They were pretty irritating too. Shula, even, didn't she have sex under a hedge with somebody once? I can't remember. She's damned irritating now, I tell you. Anyway, that's really my point. I think that Freddie has been really badly served. He's clearly got serious problems with his learning, and nobody's picked it up, and nobody's looked after him, and he hasn't had additional time and exams and all that falar. I think that they are very selfish and looking out for themselves, and hey, that's how we brought up that generation. Not my kids, of course. Mine are perfect in every way. Anyway, it's jolly good to speak to you. I am enjoying the programme vastly, and more laughs along the way. Okay, I will speak to you soon.
Do you know what? I think you and Sarah Brown having a conversation together would disappear into a vortex of sexy voices. We'd like cancel each other out.
Why, thank you very much. I think we could probably make some money. We could start our own 0898 number.
I was going to say, your Archer's updates. Freddie doesn't.
Speaking of which, I was very shocked to hear that Shula had shagged in a hedge.
Yes, Shula was a right goer.
Well, it's always the religious ones, isn't it?
I know. Well, that's why she's so bloody smug and hypocritical. That's why she, you know, it's what makes people annoyed about her, I think. Because wasn't she going out with Neil Carter when he got busted for cannabis possession?
Good God, these are things, like I said, I came in when Vicky arrived.
So. I know. Well, you need to look at that because it's very
I really do. I think I need
Neil
to gen up
on it. Neil was going out with Shula for a little bit.
Neil and Shula?
Yes.
Good God.
Have I rocked your world,
I cannot imagine
Mr. Fingers.
It. Although, who would you rather be with, Susan or Shula?
Ooh,
if
God.
You were a man or a lesbian.
That's like choosing between Aunt Sponge and Aunt Spiker, isn't it?
It is really, isn't it?
God. Susan no. or Shula? No, 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 I couldn't. My brain won't even let me.
No, you'd rather be single for 20 years, wouldn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I would. Hole with occasional forays into the polytunnel.
Stop it.
Anyway, Freddie doesn't have special needs, Sarah. He has special wants. They're different.
As do I.
Jenna, now.
Oh, yes.
Hiya, it's Jenna, at Jenna Ravioli on the Twitters. I normally call from Brooklyn, but I have recently moved up to the beautiful Hudson Valley, where I am making Shakespeare happen up here. So that's fantastic. Anyway, moving on. This week, a few great things that happened, or a few interesting things. I was loving just how little we hear about the election, which obviously was huge. I imagine must have been really enormous. But anyway, we get Elizabeth telling Freddie that when she goes to vote, she'll be thinking of him, which does that mean she voted Labour? I don't know. And then the only other thing that the only other place the scriptwriters seemed to think they could fit any comment about the general election into this week's episodes was about Lillian's bathroom and that whole disaster, the dig that Jennifer makes about Mrs. May regretting the whole thing. That's the best they could do. Absolutely baffling. Anyway, what I really want to make you guys talk about is recreational drug use. And the fact that at the Isle of Wight Festival, Johnny just, like, takes what he's handed. Freddie just hands him something and he takes it. And they get really annoying. But before that, just this, like, Johnny's the responsible kid and everyone thinks it'll be okay because Freddie's with Johnny. And, yeah, no questions. Anyway. Tell me your drug stories. Right, bye, everybody. Thanks.
Lovely Jenna from New York. Now, she wants to know about recreational drug use. Now, recreational drug use could be comfortably put on the back of a stamp, and I was very, very sick. So, and it was
snorting Beecham's powders doesn't count. And you're not supposed to swallow suppositories, but other than that.
So I think over to you on the recreational drug use front, Mr. Fingers.
Well, like a Tory MP would say, I'm not saying a word.
No, I wouldn't if I were you, really. But what do
By
we
the
think
way,
about?
Bill Clinton, so yes. In Oxford, Bill Clinton didn't inhale. In a pub in Oxford. So there is the pub. It's called the Turf Tavern. And there is a chalkboard tribute to Bill Clinton. And it says, in this pub, Bill Clinton did not inhale.
Neither did he have sex with that woman.
Yes. Yeah. And but yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the dress and the dry cleaners. But anyway.
What do we think about the... the whole Freddie at the festival, and I was quite surprised at Johnny that he just sort of but as Jenna said, just sort of handed him a pill and said, yeah, that'll be fine. Just take that.
They were already tipsy, weren't they?
Yes.
They weren't already over their cups or up to their cups. So quite frankly, in that situation, at that age, actually, no, I was quite pious and up my own arse at that age. What's changed? I didn't drink until I was 21.
Really?
I had the odd Woodpecker cider with a Chinese takeaway, but
why? Were you very healthy or very religious or what?
I don't know. I was just, like I said, I was up my own arse. I'm making up for it now, though.
Was it because a lot of teenagers don't because they kind of want to be different?
Maybe.
Well, it's like Royfield going around listening to Radio 4, and you know, as a black teenager in Birmingham, and that was his statement of difference, was I listen to Radio 4.
Yeah,
I guess. Maybe yours was I'm not gonna.
Well, maybe I was a bit scared about it too. Mm. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I wasn't very adventurous.
Well, Freddie's certainly bloody adventurous.
God, work is calling me now. Oh, dear, what's happened?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ignore.
It might be your EHO woman.
It might, what, at this time? No.
Is that not who your hot date is with later?
Shh. No, I'm not going out with the EHO woman.
But you love the EHO woman.
Shut up. I didn't love her. I said she was striking, and that
beautiful,
sent me...
Beautiful, you said.
She was beautiful, yes. I am in so much trouble now.
I'm sure the EHO lady does... Hello, EHO lady! Does not listen
I'm,
to
I'm
that
not in trouble with the EHO lady.
Who are you into? Oh, with your hot date later.
Shh,
sorry.
Shh,
there's no point shushing. You know we're recording, don't you?
Are we? Have we started?
It's like John Prescott. Can I do that again? No, John, you're live. Oh! not Andrew Horn. Dusty Substances.
Yes, Dusty Substances.
Hello, it's Dusty Substances here, the wrong sort of listener. I haven't been in touch for ages. I have been so busy. I've been channeling my... I think it was Linda Snell, wasn't it? Because I've suddenly been cast as Madame Arcati in Blythe Spirit. So, yet another bossy person. But anyway, ringing about Freddie buggering off to the Isle of Wight with Johnny. I could have all sorts of parental issues there. I mean, I know it's within the rights of young people to be obnoxious. But if a child of mine had had previous with... exams and being truthful about them, I honestly don't think I would have popped off and done something else, assuming they were going into the college and doing it. I think I would have spoken to the powers that be and said, can you make sure that young person actually starts the exam, even if they don't get very far into it? I could have done without hearing the Isle of Wight stuff while I was giving my daughter a lift to something. That was quite yucky. But basically, that's it. I really don't think Elizabeth has been realistic. I mean, if you've got a non-academic child, why persist? But if you are going to persist, then really follow through. And I think she's failed on both counts.
Dusty Substances, you will be a bloody marvellous Madame Arcati. What, I've always wanted to play Madame Arcati. What a fabulous role. Mind you, this is part of my mission to gradually transform into Margaret Rutherford. I'm doing rather well, I have to say.
Can
yes.
you do the...
Beg your pardon?
That Margaret Rutherford used to do.
Yeah. My favourite was in what's the film? The Happiest Days of Their Lives, when she says, the infant animal needs space to breathe and blow. She says, that's my favourite. Breathe the infant animal.
She had quite... Margaret Rutherford had quite an interesting life, didn't she? I mean,
wasn't her husband not very much in love with her or something?
There was something about that. There was some shenanigans going on in the background, a bit like Hattie Jakes. I think it is those it's actresses of the fuller figure. They're all a bit of a, you know.
Do you know what? I was reading Jeeves and Worcester again the other day, and Jeeves referred to somebody who was overweight as of full habit.
He said,
gentleman
I like
of
that.
Full habit. And I thought, how nice.
Did he mean habit as in a monk would have to wear a very large habit, or that he was fulsome in his habit of eating grub?
I don't know what the sort of the definition of it was, but I just liked it, of full habit. Mm.
I think I will use that from now on.
But you're not, though. You're slinky malinky because you're always pegging up and down hills on your bicycle, aren't you?
Yes, but I don't like to talk about my weight loss, but I have lost about 3 stone in the last 18 months.
Blimey!
I know.
Was that from your bicycle?
No, you don't lose weight from exercise. You lose weight by not being a greedy bastard.
Oh, okay.
So I usually don't drink during the week now. And I don't stuff my faith. This is not the Robert Wilson Slimming Show. But that is available on iTunes.
Robert also has a hypnosis tape.
Which is how I get all my hot dates.
Clear drift off. Now, imagine you are texting Robert Wilson.
Everyone knows I WhatsApp. It's not traceable. It's encrypted. Sorry, my chair's very creaky here.
I'm glad it's your chair. I wonder what the hell was going on. yes, Elizabeth is completely unrealistic and failed on both counts with Freddie, because she hasn't made him feel confident. She's actually made him lack confidence.
Yeah.
And be incredibly aware of his shortcomings and not replace those with anything. You know, she's kind of just given him a big list of things he can't do, yeah, rather than finding something he is actually good at.
But she is also still lost. I mean, how long ago did Nigel take the plunge? It was about 5 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah. And that's, you know, it takes at least 5 years to go through the grieving process. And recently she's mentioned that she might, you know, want to get together. What happened to Dockie Lockie? He's gone off the face of the earth.
I was just thinking he's disappeared, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, he hasn't gone back to do more Silent Witness because they blew him up, didn't they? She's still struggling, isn't it? A little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, life is hard at the best of times, but you know, if you're running that huge stately home and
with only an entire staff and
an entire staff and you have to tread the grapes yourself, then I don't know.
Poor old Freddie.
He's in a really tough position.
And just because they are rich as Croesus, we should not be lacking sympathy for them.
No, but I was impressed by Lily, because Lily was beginning to get on my proverbials. Mm. But something she said, and she defended her brother, even though, and it's often that way, isn't it, between siblings, is that they will be at each other's throats. But if they see that someone else is threatening the other one, they will defend them to the hilt. And that's what she did. And she actually had quite a cogent argument,
I
thought.
Yeah, yep.
And tell you what, if I were Freddie, you wouldn't see me for dust anyway. I'd have gone to the Isle of Wight. Definitely.
You would.
Well, maybe not the Isle of Wight. I went there once. Sorry to everyone listening in the Isle of Wight. You've got the internet there yet.
I really think that he's got to come and move to London or something, Freddie. I think he's just not.
Maybe he'll move in with James and Leonie.
Yeah, that would be nice. He's too big and stupid for Ambridge at the moment, and he needs to go and get rid of all his stupidness in Soho and then go back to Lower Loxley. And maybe then he'll take it over as kind of, you know, the Lord of the Manor thing, although Lily will make a much more effective Lord of the Manor than he ever would.
Oh, definitely. I think that's the way it's going, because progenitor has changed in the royal family. So why can't progenitor change in the Pargeter family?
Hmm. Andrew Horne now.
Greetings, Earthlings. Andrew Horne here. Well, I expect today's show with Naked Fingers and Lucy will be wall-to-wall double entendre. So I just thought I'd leave a quickie plot prediction. And it's following the arc of the pig story. Yes, I did mean that pun. And it's to do with the next time it goes to the council. So I expect Linda and Kirsty will mount opposition. And about a week before the council meeting, Neil will be offered the job as manager of the new unit. And this will throw him into a tizzy because he will have a conflict of interest. And Susan will be pushing him to take the job because it's a big step up. He will be worried about the parish council and how he can chair the debate. He'll also be worried about his own pig business, which presumably he'd have to either sell to Sausage Boy or dispose of. And then where would Sausage Boy get his wieners from? So I do think the pig story will come back, and I'm predicting that Neil will be caught in a conundrum. Speak to you all soon. Bye.
Andrew Horn, how very dare you, wall-to-wall innuendo, my arse.
No, and I think we proved him wrong.
I think we have.
I saw an innuendo in the script, and I whipped it out straight away.
Oh, you've nicked that. Where's that from?
Well, probably. I thought of it just then, but it's probably the great radio presenter, whose name I've now forgotten, who used to work at Radio Leeds, and his name is Martin Kellner.
Ah, yes. Ah, yes. So,
Andrew never bought me a gin and tonic.
Who never bought you a gin and tonic? Andrew Horn, Linda and Kirsty will oppose the pig story. Well, yes, definitely. Neil will be offered the job as manager of the new unit, setting up a nice little thing because then he's got to oppose it as the parish council chair. But, oh my God, Susan
it's
would
very
just
interesting.
Be... shredding her little tabard with joy, wouldn't she, if Neil got to manage that. Neil couldn't manage something that big, though.
No.
He'd have to report to Alice, and then he'd be reporting to his own daughter-in-law, wouldn't he?
Well, exactly. But, you know, I hadn't thought of all these implications, and this is obviously why they've decided to start up a pig unit. It is to... I was about to say throw the cat among the pigeons, but I think that's technically mixing metaphors. But... I really hadn't considered that, but I think that idea's got legs. I wouldn't bet my house on it, but I might put a fiver on it that they'll offer Neil some kind of job there. Although, how old is Neil? Is what is his late 50s, maybe? So yeah, he's not ready to go off and retire just yet. Interesting. I think that there'll definitely be that, or he might be brought on, if not like a big, he won't be brought on as managing the whole unit, but yeah, he might be brought in some kind of semi-senior middle management role. Because he does know one end of a sow from the other.
He does, which is more than Alice does.
Yes.
Alice would have it in a veil and a pair of wings flapping around. That is the end of the caller inners.
They were good this week.
They were.
But we were missing one caller in a row, though.
Oh, that Robert Wilson bloke.
Yeah.
Well, he's rubbish. He's pissed most of the time, anyway.
He is pissed most of the time, and he's rubbish.
Bollocks.
Do you know what? I nearly did call in. to say,
that's taking idiotism too far. When
hello,
you don't get
Dumpty
to announce
Dummers. Naked
yourself.
Fingers here. I'm not calling in this week because I'm hosting the show.
Hello, yay. Me. Yes.
But I thought that was... only an arsehole would do that, so I didn't do it.
Good.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom,
like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
I mean, I was 8 years old, interesting, the same age as the Dragon King's daughter when she comes out of the sea. But what was happening to me when I was 8 years old was that I was at the hands of a paedophile in a classroom for a year. And
awesome, yeah. For me, and I think the reason that I somehow managed to win in the end is that for me, it's about an economy of the three things that bring a song together. Kiss, mouth open like
Catch up with me speaking to friends and interesting people every Friday afternoon on Friday 15, which you can get, of course, from a podcatcher of your choice.
Hello, I'm Lucy, and this is Walkie Talkie. I walk my dog, Basil, pretty much every day in a foresty bit of London. I have been doing so for about 4 years. And I meet people that, as a dog walker, you talk to people. If your dogs get on, you tend to just, you say, which way are you going? Can I come with you? And you just sort of amble along. And you can end up having the most extraordinary conversations. Partly because you are walking side by side and facing front, so there's no embarrassing eye contact. If things get a bit heavy, if someone starts talking about something that they find emotional or difficult, then you can always divert your attention onto the dogs and relieve the tension a little bit. We've seen, as a group of dog walkers, we've seen people get pregnant, have children. We've seen people whose dogs have become ill and died, and the owner says, oh, I can never have another one, and then in a couple of months' time they appear with a puppy and everyone's delighted to see them. And we've seen people's marriages break down, new romances start. It's a lovely way to start your morning. It never fails to give me something nice to think about, something interesting to think about, even if it's not nice. And having a dog is a sort of a universality, really. The people aren't all like me, as I hope you'll realise over the course of the series.
Leading up to the 1860 election, in walks a gentleman by the name of Abraham Lincoln, who is the Republican candidate. The Republicans to the South represent the ending of slavery. And Lincoln, despite the fact that his sentiment was always in the beginning to preserve the Union rather than to abolish slavery, becomes the lightning rod of anti-Southern sentiment. And he ends up winning the election in 1860 with no support from the South.
The Guardian, Manchester, Tuesday, November 20th, 1860. Summary of news, foreign. The details respecting the presidential election furnished by the New York journalist, not complete, but they not only assure us of Mr. Lincoln's election, but show that the Republican Party has obtained far more than the requisite number of votes for his return. It is calculated that New York, Pennsylvania, the New England states, New Jersey, and the Northwestern states give him 171 electoral votes, or 19 more than the majority required for the election, the total number of electoral votes being 303. It is not improbable, too, that this majority may be further swelled by the result of the elections in the Pacific states of Oregon and California. We have no account of the manner in which the Southerners have received the intelligence of Mr. Lincoln's election. The next advices will no doubt be filled with fierce Southern declamations and protest, but it is not very likely that any Southern states will do anything more than talk loudly about secession.
Listen to the first show exclusively on Mixcloud today and subscribe to us on iTunes. From Washington to Obama, 10 American Presidents, the new podcast from Royfield Brown.
So now you have to talk about the Facebook thing.
Oh, yes, back the Facebook the thing. Here we are. And now we're going to have a little bit of Facebook with our upside-down queen of the social, Millie Bell.
G'day, everyone. The Dumpty Dum Forum, as Royfield said last week, is really getting busy. And we have a number of people starting discussions. We've been talking about Anthea, which was started by Miss Bubbles. Dusty Substances started the Hilda Ogden Fan Club. Audrey-Anne Cavarubias is discussing the future of Lower Loxley Hall. Helen Sharp says that Rex prefers Anisha to Pip. And Cosmo is talking about Bridge Farm. Of course, it's not the only discussions you can have. You can go off topic, but under the Archers discussions, that's what I found this week. So pretty busy again. So well done, everybody, for keeping that going. I also would like to bring your attention to a post that Cosmo put up on the Facebook page, which says, elsewhere, we have tonight established that, I'm not sure how you say that, is it Isan? Churchman has set a new record between television appearances as the same character. In both cases, she was the voice of a monster on Doctor Who. She retains her record of being the oldest actress to have appeared on Doctor Who. This is relevant as she was, of course, Grace and later Mary Pound. Thank you for that, Cosmo. That's awesome. I do love it when I can connect Doctor Who and the Archers. It's like all my Christmases come at once. So thank you for that. Also, we have been busy on the Facebook forum, and we one of the things that really annoyed me this week was I couldn't believe it when Pat and Tony were discussing Justin's offer with Helen and Tom and put the offer on the table and then had different positions on how they felt about it. And I thought, surely as parents, we position ourselves before we discuss it with the kids. I mean, it's just what you do. So I said, would that have been better? And of course, the very wise Witherspoon said, of course, it was bizarre for Tony to hold that carrot out to Tom, who you knew was going to go gaga over the offer, and Helen, and then pull it back. Nah, it was only falling, no million for you.
Rosie Taylor said, wouldn't it have been better if Real Pat had still got principles and Tony was true to his money-grabbing self? But if they have to muck about with Socko-induced character changes and accept Satan's sense, that they paid their debts to the lawyers, the courts, and to horrible Peggy, the $10,000 they still owe Lillian for the E. coli disaster loan, got counselling for Henry, and got the $20,000 that Pat paid for the Pooligoons back into a pension fund for Pat. Now, it's interesting you should say that. You've reminded me, Rosie, that when they were talking about all the things they could do and they could get Tom's business off the ground, I did think to myself, gee, they still have a lot of debts to pay off. And, of course, the legal bill for Helen can't be small. So that did seem a surprise to me, too. And Lexi Hovensey said, I don't know their total acreage, but on balance, I would be on Team Sell. It would put them ahead of the game in terms of providing unique offerings and reduce and eliminate existing debt. With all the talk of post-Brexit subsidies worries, I think the easiest choice would be slightly downsize but increase financial independence. Is it really just his sentimentality over that area holding Tony back? Well, very wise words there, I have to say, Lexi. And I think one of the things I really love is that Yoko Bear and I, we post up a little discussion point and we get so many points of view, and most of them are very well informed, so thank you for that. We also discuss Pip, it's not all about you, Rex has feelings too. And Annie Morley said, anyone else pick up on the elderflower choice over Prosecco? Could be just that she was going back to work after the picnic, or oh my god, imagine the ructions. And Charlotte Foster said, I got incredibly sweary listening to all that shenanigans. Rex is an idiot and Pip is just awful. And as you know, Charlotte, we do encourage our Dumpty Dumblers to get sweary because we're a little bit sweary ourselves. We also discussed the fact that, Freddie, on this occasion, your mum is mistaken. Skipping an exam to go to a music festival is exactly what your dad might have done. And I'm standing by that because I remember Nigel really well. And that is exactly what he might have done. And Rachel Kennedy said, my son did sit in that maths exam yesterday thanks to the government ruling that all students need to retake until they are 18. He came out sad, despondent, with his confidence knocked back once again. I would rather he had gone to the festival. Good call, Freddie. Rachel, that was really heartening to hear because we can get so caught up in all the academic stuff, can't we? And I say that as a teacher, I realise that sometimes we're just setting our kids up to fail and it makes me sad. So thank you for those wise words, and until next week with Yoko Bear, hooroo!
Thank you, Millie!
Right, Lucy, can we have some tweets of the week? It's about time, isn't it?
I think it's well overdue, as we very nearly finished then, before we did them.
Don't let light in on magic, as Danny Baker would say.
Kate Gutleben said, about Freddie and Johnny, no point in wasting those condoms, lads.
Word condom, does anyone use that? Does anyone, Johnny and condom, no one uses the word Johnny for condom anymore,
well,
does it?
Good job, otherwise that joke would be ruined, wouldn't it?
Oh, sorry.
NYNZI, I don't know how to pronounce it, Ninzi? I don't know how to pronounce that. Anyway, he or she was responding to somebody who said, oh, I haven't listened for ages, I don't know what's going on. And she said, oh, I won't spoil for you the explosive storyline of Will Grundy's coming out then.
Do you know, I did think at the Isle of Wight, when Freddie was going, oh, yeah, but Johnny, what you don't see, I thought Johnny was going to come out and say, but it's you I love, Johnny.
Yeah.
I'm sort of disappointed it wasn't, because I've been.
Especially anyway. When he'd been saying, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Johnny had been saying that to him. So are you.
Apparently ecstasy will do that to you.
Yes, apparently. Jane Bramley, who said, this is the voice of a mother here. I think he's more likely to come back with no money and possibly no tent. My brother had his jeans stolen at Donington one year.
How do you get home without jeans? I might need advice for later tonight.
Do you remember that awful Glastonbury where everybody got trench foot?
Oh, God, yes.
And it was
apparently most people do buy crappy tents to go to these things, and they just leave them there.
Yes, yeah.
And they claim to vote green and eat organic, but they're leaving a bleeding tent behind. It's an absolute disgrace. Hypocrites.
My friend's son got off the train having slept and lived in his clothes for 3 days in this weather where they were, you know, your clothes never dry out and you just smell like a piece of wet bread. And she made him stand on the train station and take his clothes off, apart from his pants, put them all in a bin bag. And then made him get in the car just in his pants because she wouldn't have the clothes in the car because she thought he probably had lice and some sort of
thing
that
enough,
you
yeah.
get at the Somme.
Nightmare.
I think you're probably actually contravening my like my human rights or something, Mother.
Possibly.
Muffet R. Boyle was also at the festival and said, "The bongos are irritating me and I don't have to stay there." And Tweet of the Week was from Buggy Swires, who said, "What's the betting Freddie and Johnny are actually on the Isle of Man?"
Well, one of them will have three legs by the end of the night.
I just had visions of them being on a traffic island in the Isle of Man, thinking they're at a festival. Anyway, and that's the end of the Tweets of the Week. So now we do the bit about remember to get in contact, blah-de-blah.
Okay.
Quick funding message, because we are brassic. If you would like to help us keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
Remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the site, or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. You can find Lucy and Royfield on Twitter at DumptyTum, and I am at Naked Fingers, all one word.
And that is the end of the show.
Marvellous. That was fun.
So, you have lost your Dumpty Dum virginity.
Yeah. Oh, God. And that was one thing I forgot to mention, is that...
your virginity?
I lost my virginity in a tent.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow.
Don't you dare put this out.
As if we would. Royfield, put this in. What?
You fuckers, you better not.
Where were you?
Durdledore.
No.
Yes.
Bloody hell. That's on a cliff edge. What were you doing up there? That's dangerous.
Well, we weren't on the top of Durdledore, but I'd gone camping with my girlfriend and I lost my virginity there.
Wow.
Yeah. That was last year. Anyway.
I was just thinking of a Durdle door knob joke then, and I couldn't do it fast enough.
Well, there is a Dorset knob.
I know. It's a
there
biscuit.
Is a Dorset. It's a bread roll, I think.
No, it's
so she grabbed my Dorset knob and and buttered it up.
Twisted it and it came off in her hand.
Yes, it did indeed.
On
so
one can
I'm glad
of woodpecker
I didn't mention
cider.
That on air. Mm.
So, are you taking your hot date camping?
No.
Okay. But you're planning
on
coming
home
without...
Are you still recording this?
No.